Well, good evening. It's good to see those of you out with us tonight. Good to have Kathy back with us. Glad she made a safe trip back. Before we begin our lesson, just to give you a few updates on a few things. Before services began, passed out basically a lesson structure of what verses we'll be doing at what time for the Gospel of Mark, as well as lessons 2 and 3. Folders should be in before Wednesday, and then give out the folders Wednesday. We'll hole punch what you've got. You can add it to it. If you didn't get a copy of it and need one, just see me after services. I still have a few extra. The other thing is, next Sunday is the fifth Sunday. Several of you have asked if we were going to do another sermon and song again. We've done a few of those the last couple of years where it's part sermon, part hymn, part sermon, part hymn, etc. And I thought that's what we will try to do for the fifth Sundays of this month, of this year. So next Sunday night, that's what we'll do, is a sermon and song. Basically, my lack of preparation and planning on that, though, is the one I have planned has 3 songs that we've never done here before. So, anyone who can and is able to, I recognize most will not be with this short a notice, but anyone who can stay after services this evening, I've got the 3 ready to go that we can run through. We'll give a few minutes for people to visit. And then anyone who can will sing through the 3 songs after services tonight. If you can't and are willing to learn it, I will give you sheet music and I will send you either email or text message with links to YouTube videos for the 3 songs. So, 2 of the 3 are very easy to learn. The 3rd one is moderately easy to learn. So, I know Henry and Linda know of all 3 hymns because they've been in a singing that the 3 of us attended earlier this year. Some of you who were here early heard Linda and I singing through the one that is, I say, moderately easy to learn. It has a few little trick places in it, but typically is pretty easy. Those hymns are Only a Holy God, His for Eternity, and Highly Exalted. So some of you may know some of those, but I would reckon most of you do not know all 3. All right. As we mentioned this morning, we're trying to do a little bit of catch-up work on our series of I Am the Way and the I Am statements of the Lord. One of the hardest lessons is this one, I Am the Lord. Because there is not an exact place where that quotation is found. But there are a few passages that come to mind with the phrase, I am the Lord. One is where Bert read for us. It's kind of the fulfillment of that statement in which God has made him both Lord and Christ. And that there is a distinction between the words Lord and Christ. Sometimes we say the Lord Jesus Christ, but in our minds put the two together as one word. Lord and Christ. They're not. They're separate. They're distinct. But there are 2 occasions in Jesus' teaching where he makes statements that are similar to this and can be inferred as this, especially the second one we'll look at. But I want to start by looking at John chapter 8, verses 21 through 30. Both passages, by the way, are found in John chapter 8. But in John chapter 8, verses 21 through 30, you have a situation where Jesus is teaching, and here he's talking about what is going to be taking place. And he says, then I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself since he says, where I am going, you cannot come? He said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true. And I declare to the world that I have heard from him. They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. For I always do the things that are pleasing to him. And as he was saying these things, many believed in him. The other passage that comes to mind is just a few paragraphs later. In John chapter 8, verses 54 through 59. Where in this discussion, in verse 48, the Jews have answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" No, they're not right about Jesus at all. He's neither a Samaritan nor has a demon. And he says in verse 49, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me." And it goes on through, and starting in verse 54, this is what it's written. "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be like a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "Are you not yet 50 years old? And have you seen Abraham?" He said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. You know, the Jews tried to stone him on multiple occasions, as we saw this morning, and our one just a few chapters later. And they constantly acted this way towards his teaching. But the Jews have made a lot of false assumptions. They've assumed he's a Samaritan. They've assumed that he has a demon. And they've assumed he's not yet 50. He's a couple decades younger than that, even. But what he says, when they say, "You talking about seeing Abraham," he says, "Before Abraham was, I am." Who is the I am? Who is the I am of the Old Testament? Typically we call that individual God the Father. Right? God Almighty is the I am. He says that in the book of Exodus when he tells Moses, "When they ask who sent me, who do I say? You say, I am." And what you find, if you just do a word search of the word Lord in an American Bible, you're going to find over 300 occasions in which it's found. Over 75% of those are going to be in the Old Testament as a reference to God the Father. As a reference to God Almighty. And so, when he calls himself I am, he calls himself God. He calls himself Lord. And this is different than him being the Messiah. Acts chapter 2, he has been made both Lord and Christ. Distinction, difference between the two. And so when he says, "I am the Lord," when he says, "I am," he claims his deity. He claims that he is of God, as we looked this morning, the Son of God. He claims that he is God in the flesh. And this idea of being Lord implies a ruler, or a teacher, or a master. Who is your Lord? You answer that question, maybe husbands, and say, "My wife. She makes my decisions. I do what she says." The right answer is yes, dear. Well, that means she's your Lord. A Lord is a ruler. Is an individual who takes precedent in your life. Is your master, as David led a song for us just a moment ago. Is the individual in whom you strive to please. That's who the Lord is. That's who your Lord is. Is who you're seeking favor from. Is who you're seeking to follow. That means the Lord is your teacher. Lord is an individual who commands of you, who demands obedience. Does God demand obedience throughout the Old Testament? Was God not their ruler? That's the whole issue that we looked at last week when we said each man did what was right in his own eyes, for there was no king in Israel. Who was supposed to be reigning? Their ruler, their Lord, God. But they were not submitting to Him. Jesus, as our ruler, as our master, as our teacher, shows us how to live, what we should be doing, and demands our obedience. Jesus, as our Lord, should take precedent in our life. Above all else, are you a faithful servant of your Lord if you allow another's will to be larger than theirs? Are you a faithful servant of your Lord if you start taking orders from another commander? From another ruler? Are you being faithful to your Lord if you go into service of another? Or shirk the duties that He's given you? Lord is an authoritative figure. But He is not a dictator, as many of the rulers of this time period were and are. You don't want to be in service to the Lord, you have every right to leave. But your protection, your safety is only found with the Lord. The Lord is to be followed and served. He isn't an individual that we decide what days we want to be in His service and what days we won't. This isn't a schedule where you put in your vacation days. The Lord requires our service. Continual. Perpetual. And He is our master for a reason. We can only have one master. And Jesus, the Lord, teaches that we can serve money. We can serve flesh, that is. We can serve the desires of the world. Or we can serve God. And all of us, prior to our obedience to the will of God, had a different Lord named sin, who trapped us and ensnared us and kept us in the darkness. This Lord freed us. This Lord rescued us. But it requires our service. It requires us to follow in His footsteps, lest we start going back to our former self. The Lord saves those who are loyal to Him. Just as the Good Shepherd does for His sheep. An image that He uses in this passage, just a few paragraphs later when you get to chapter 10. Jesus, as our Lord, has given all that we might be saved. We looked at that this morning. He made us a fellow heir of the gift and mercy and riches of God. He did that for you and for me. But only if we're loyal to Him. Does the Lord want His servants to be disloyal? What happens to those servants who go against their master's will? They're cast out. They're not part of it anymore. We'll get to part of this when we get to the idea of the vine. Not only the idea of His blood, fruit of the vine, but also what happened to the branches that no longer bear fruit. cut off. No longer apart. Such are those who are disloyal to the Lord, who no longer follow Him. And folks, without our Lord, we have nothing. We sang this song this morning. Without Him, I have nothing. Without the Lord, what do we have? You know, Jesus has painted this picture. There's two sides. God's and the world's. So, what do we have if the world is our Lord? Fame. Maybe riches. Maybe the best house, best car. Maybe a lot of personal pleasure. Maybe a lot of friends, or at least individuals who act like they are. Now, folks, you tell me any of that that lasts outside of this life. Didn't you know your house conveys with you to heaven or hell? It's written into your deeds. It has a convey. Oh, that's not true, right? Well, your bank account goes with you. No. Your clothing goes with you. No. You get to do all the fun things you did with your friends there. No. Your fame goes with you. You get a higher seat or a better place, depending on how famous you are here. No. None of that goes. So, without the Lord, what do we have? Maybe whatever we want on earth. Which is but for a moment. Which is gone in the blink of an eye. With the Lord, we have all things eternal. With His service, with our commitment to Him, we have all things that are far grander than anything here on this earth. Without the Lord, what do we have? We have strife. This world is full of cantankerous people. This world is full of selfish people who are in it only for themselves. And so long as people act that way, all we have on earth is strife. That's why we have all the troubles we have. In our society, nationally, locally, globally, is because it's all about me, myself, and I. What we have with the Lord is eternal peace and rest from fighting. No strife, no worries, no arguments, just bliss. No turmoil. No news media. None of it. That's all gone. What do we have without the Lord? We have sickness and dying. We say, oh, with the Lord we do too. Yeah, but once the physical sickness and dying is over, we're in a land of spiritual rest where there is no more dying, no more crying, no more mourning. No pains, no aches, no toils. But without the Lord, those don't end on the earth. See, on the earth, cancer affects both good and bad people. And some people, I have an argument with a friend of mine regularly who smokes like a freight train. And I've tried to warn them of the dangers. And they go, well, so-and-so lived to be 80 years old and died and never had cancer and smoked their entire life.
Yeah. Some people are lucky in this life. But the risk outweigh the benefits in this life. But you know what, folks? When this life is over, it's not about luck. It's not about pre-existing conditions. It's not about being predisposed genetically. None of that. With the Lord, there's no more frail bodies. There's no more death. There's no more aches and pains of life. But without the Lord, they're intensified. And far worse than anything here on earth. Because it's for eternity. Without the Lord, what do we have? Without God, what do we have? The giver and maker of all. The great creator who created everything around us, all the beauty that we see. Without Him, what do we have? Not a thing worth keeping. And that's what I think of when I think of the Apostle Paul, when he says, all these things from beforehand, I count but loss. Everything prior to his conversion, he counted as loss. Because he was pressing on towards the upward call of Christ. As he referred to him on multiple occasions, our Lord and Savior for whom we wait. Our Lord, our God, our ruler, our master. Jesus gives us all that we need. He teaches us all that we need to know. What a wonderful teacher we serve. He gives us all the instructions we need to be pleasing to Him. What a wonderful master is He.
Not a hard taskmaster like the Jews have had throughout history. Not one who makes up the rules as He goes.
But one who has given us all we need to know to be obedient to Him. That is the Lord we serve. God has made Him both Lord and Christ. Lord and Messiah. He is God. His deity is not to be questioned. He is God. But He is our ruler, our master, our Savior. The one appointed by God. To take on the sins of the world. To be the perfect sacrifice. That you and I might be saved. That is He whom we call Lord. Is He Lord of your life? Have you been obedient to Him? Have you followed after His will? Have you made Him the master of your life? Or does your soul belong to another? Do your wants and your desires belong to another? If soul, He waits for you to return. He waits for you to choose to follow Him again. Would you not choose that this evening? Tonight, if we can help you in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected?